So we're going to be talking about a project that Beth and I were involved with for the last several years now, a real effort by some residential child care facilities in Colorado that were trying to look at a common instrument to measure outcomes for youth from out-of-home placements in their facilities. And we chose the CANS, which is the topic of our conversation today. Our full report looked at a number of other things. I don't have this out on PDF yet, but I will shortly. And so there's a lot more in the report than we can discuss in this. We're really focusing on the one piece, the child and adolescent needs and strengths scale today, which we thought was the most interesting piece. So we're going to talk about why the providers chose the instrument that they did. That was turned out to be a very lengthy process, much longer than I, as a researcher, would have liked to have seen, but very important to the outcomes of the project. And we're going to talk about a few of the overview of the CANS instrument itself and how it's scored and how we have used it to measure outcomes. We're going to talk a little bit about the findings, list the key challenges to outcomes measurement, and talk a little bit about the implications of our findings and where we hope, where Beth and I hope they'll be going. I can't speak for everybody on the team, but where we hope these things will be going. So I'm going to let Beth talk about the background to this, since she is a practitioner and was intimately involved in helping formulate the study and get it off the ground. You want to talk
I'll
a little
let
bit?
You manage the
okay, project. Sure, that's fine.
So I came to this research project with a unique background. I'm an LTSW, so licensed clinical social worker, with 30 years of direct practice in residential treatment, ranging from a clinician to the CEO most recently. So my interest in the outcomes for residential care is a lifetime, really, of work in this area. Colorado went through, like many states did, the whole influx of managed care and the increase for accountability in all areas. But most certainly in Colorado, it became very, very prevalent in the last 10 years. The right service at the right time for the right child became one of the mantras that the Colorado Department of Human Services and the Division of Youth Corrections really began to tie almost everything to, from finances to policy to where children would be placed, length of stay, all the variables that you can imagine. And so out of that came the CAFCA organization, which is our membership organization that said, you know, we have to do something. We have to be able to find a way to be able to demonstrate and verify that residential treatment is, in fact, an important component of the continuum of care. And so under CAFCA, 15 agencies and then ultimately 11 that finished the project went together and created a steering committee, put out an RFP, ultimately hired David as an external evaluator, and began what was supposed to be a three-year project under the funding of the Colorado Health Foundation. As all of us know about research and projects that have multiple stakeholders and involved parties, it took 5 years for us to get to this point today, but we're very excited about what we've been able to accomplish and how it definitely will change policy in Colorado as well as the care that children receive there in families. Let's see. A little bit about the background of Colorado. We had, in 1993 to 1999, we had a outcomes work group that had initiated. At that same time, the Illinois Department of Children and Families created a study that is very relevant to this study. In that project, they assessed 8,131 children. In our project, we assessed over 1,200, which is still a fairly significant amount. There's also an Indiana study from 1995 to 1997, as well as until 2002, where they had 33 providers that looked at 4,500 students and children, and again, using the CANS instrument. I think some other relevant, the Surgeon General's report that came out in 99 regarding residential treatment was a reference point for us. And then several other work groups that led up to 2006 when this particular initiative was started.
I would like to add something here. Colorado does have a SACWIS. It's called TRAILS. And there has been some research done using TRAILS data. But there are several limitations with the data. One, data are not collected at the same time for all youth. So they're not consistently captured at admission and discharge from a facility or some other placement. And secondly, a lot of missing information. The data aren't required to be entered. Generally, the social worker for the county might have entered the data and not the therapist or clinician delivering the services. So very different things. And I think lastly, there's no parental involvement information captured on the SACWIS, on trails, Colorado trails. So there's some real limitations using the information Colorado already captures for analysis to really look at outcomes. All right, let's move on.
So from a practitioner standpoint and from the researcher standpoint, I'll talk briefly about why we set the priorities and show the CANS process. It took us 18 months. The steering committee looked at the CAFIS, it looked at the CBL, and ultimately chose the CANS. Dr. Lyons came and presented to the steering committee in August of 2007. A wonderful presentation that really helped to guide our decision. But the specifics, it's very applicable across a broad range of youth, and so you can imagine that in the sense that 11 different providers providing services to a wide range of youth with every presenting issue that you can think of that would be in residential treatment, we needed to have something that had the scope and depth that would be able to really capture all of those services. The comprehensiveness of it, Colorado has a 4E waiver, an initiative relative to trauma-informed system of care. And so certainly looking at trauma and strengths, which the CANS includes, was absolutely critical. One of the really great things about the CANS is that it can translate, the scores translate to actual treatment planning. And so actionable items, and we'll talk briefly about that scoring, but actionable items ranked at twos and threes directly translate to what clinicians and practitioners would want to include in a treatment plan. Cost, it was free, and so free is always good, it's in the public domain. And it was comparable to other providers, Indiana and Illinois, so that we could take a look at how did Colorado compare.
And from the perspective I bring, which is from a research perspective, we wanted a valuable, reliable tool that was a known commodity within the area of mental health. And we wanted something that would capture outcomes data that providers could use. They would find valuable as information in their treatment planning, and the CANS met that criterion. And we also needed them to find it valuable because we were relying on them to key enter the data. In other words, as they saw the youth at admission and discharge, they key entered the data to the system. So without their involvement, we would have had no information to use for the evaluation. And the other factor I think that's very important here, obviously, is that we wanted quantitative information, not qualitative, anecdotal information about the progress youth were making in out-of-home placement.
So before we go into the findings, just so that you can have a sense of how this is scored, as I mentioned, 0 to 3 is the scoring range, with no evidence being 0 to severe or profound being 3. We rated the strengths as well as the action that was needed. And so, again, as a 2 or a 3, you can see that there would need to be action and or any item that was scored as a 3. The clinical interventions were urgent and immediate, with either intensive need to be put in place for the child. So, for instance, if there was a score in the suicide range, of course, you would have that. Or if there was a score in the trauma range that was in a 2 or 3, it would be actionable. And when we looked at the data, we looked at, of course, number of actionable items in each of the domains relative to twos and threes, which was very significant.
So I want to talk about the back page.
Sure. Let's see.
There is something that's not in the slides.
The
very last page of the handout.
What you see there is kind of what I was just describing, which is that the CANS has these 9 domains: trauma experience, trauma stress symptoms. You can see all of those. But what I was hoping that you would have a sense of is the depth of the actual item questions. And so, for instance, under the trauma experience, there are 13 specific areas rated from the 0 to 3 range. So you really get a well-versed kind of understanding of each child in each of the domains. Likewise, under child risk behaviors, you can see the depth of those. And then danger to others, sexual aggression, runaway delinquency, and fire setting. Each of those in the CANS then has a module that drops down that draws for additional information, which again builds that base of information for each of the youth.
Right. I I think this is very important because it illustrates the complexity of the instrument, that it really captures a lot of dimensions on youth who present such a wide range of symptoms and needs. So perhaps the, well, I hate to say seminal accomplishment, but one of the big features of this particular project was I had to develop a website for the providers to use to key enter the information, to capture it, to produce reports that they could use to manage the information that they had key entered, and to use it, to export it for our use to analyze the information. So this was a huge undertaking. You've seen how many dimensions there are to the CANs. It was very, very complex, much more complex than I originally thought it would be when I had bid to do this work. So a lot of the money ended up having to go to the cost of building the system. But we do have a website that is transportable. It's scalable, meaning we can add as many facilities or out-of-home placement homes that we want to, if the state would like to expand this to embrace all its out-of-home placements. It's extensible in the sense that we can add reports, we can add management things, we can do more with exporting data. So it has a lot of versatility in terms of being useful to researchers as well as providers. And it's manageable in the sense that it's very easy to maintain. Actually, I had someone build the system, website designer, and he really is not in the picture very much anymore. After training, after producing the manuals and things that people need to have in order to understand how to enter data, for example, and export data for their own use and for treatment planning, once that was done, it's a pretty simple system to use. Beth may disagree, but it's fairly easy to use. And now it's on a website that's hosted by an advocacy organization of which Beth is a member. And people continue to use the system without much involvement from the website designer. So it's a pretty standalone instrument. It's in the public domain. So I'm going to show you a set of CANS outcomes charts here, just to give you a flavor of what this is. Now, there are several ways of looking at the information that's captured. This is what I call, at the top, it says composite scores. There are some major domains within each of those domains. You have a lot of, these are just all domains, but you have lots of items within each domain. So a composite score consolidates all this information and develops a single score for each domain based upon the scores for each of the items within that domain. So at its broadest, this gives a picture at admission for the youth we studied. And we had about 1,100 youth, I think, we had admission data for. So this shows you the score. Now, the scale actually could go up to 30. There's a potential score of all these. These are normalized so that all of them end up with a potential score of 30. And you can see that we're only about at the most half there. And they're calibrated so that the needs, trauma, behavioral, emotional needs, life domain scale, are calibrated with the strengths. So the higher the score for a child's strengths, caregiver's strengths, shows a need. It's all showing need here. So the greatest need was on the child strength scale, indicating a lot of effort needed to help those kids develop. So this is a profile of youth at admission, which is something that Colorado had not done before, not really gotten a good picture of who these kids are who are in residential placement. There's another way of looking at the data, and that is by the percent of actionable items. In other words, the composite score includes all those items that are ranked at zero, indicating no need for attention or one little need for attention. And it's the twos and threes that you really want to worry about. They're the ones that are going to get you to develop a treatment plan that will pay attention to those particular needs. So the other one, as Beth mentioned, is the percent of actionable items within each of these domains. I don't know if you can read up there, but trauma, for example, has 13 items, item scores within it, and we're looking at the proportion of actional items. Yes, okay. If we're interpreting this, let's see. So there's a life domain scale, 87.8. That means that there are 87.8% of the items in that particular scale had youth with scores of 2 or 3, indicating some serious needs here that had to be addressed. Beth also mentioned trauma. We can talk more about this since I'm, again, running a little short of time. But it just was fortuitous, I think, that we included this particular scale and captured information on these 13 items of trauma, because Colorado has begun a new initiative or began it in 2012, and this information is feeding right into this new initiative. So it's been very valuable to see the scores that we had on our youth. Outcomes. Again, I told you there's composite, there's a percent of actionable items. So on its broadest level, this is the information before and after, at admission and at discharge for the youth in care. You can see our sample size dropped down considerably because we had a lot of youth who had dropped out and didn't have completed CANS instruments at discharge, or they hadn't completed their term at the facility. They had not yet been discharged. But the important thing, I think, here is that there were improvements, significant improvements, in these ratings, the composite scores, between admission and discharge on all the domains. And we also followed up with kids as much as we could at 4 months post-discharge and 12 months post-discharge. So we had some follow-up information for kids. Granted, very difficult. You probably all understand how difficult it is to follow up with kids when you don't really have contact information or you don't know necessarily where they've gone after placement in your facility. But we captured as much as we could, relying on the clinicians and therapists to follow up with those kids. And those improvements that we see in this particular chart actually were maintained or sustained beyond the initial discharge from the facility. So we were very pleased to see that too. Looking now at the percent of actionable items, again, percent of actionable items decreased significantly for all the domains, and we were pleased about that as well. There is another way to look at outcomes, and John Lyons, the creator of the CANS, has been doing much more work looking at the data and looking at how he can use the data to create different kinds of pictures of kids at post-discharge, at admission, at discharge, and for treatment planning. And one of these is reliable change. And he creates a reliable change index based on the reliability and distribution of the information. And he has suggested that you need between 60 and 80% of you should experience reliable change in at least one of the domains. And within each individual domain, he suggests it should be between 20 and 40%. And you can see at the very bottom score shows 54% of the youth in our study. And in the one by John Lyons from Indiana, his scoring, about 54%, a little more than half of the youth discharged had reliable change within at least one of the domains that we were measuring. And the others within individual domains we had didn't quite meet the 20% threshold. So implications were on our last slide, gang. So let's see, I want to talk about the impact on public policy a little bit, and Beth can talk about the others quickly. I had hoped that Colorado would adopt this instrument and begin using it for all its out-of-home placements. Has instead, I think, fallen back a little bit and relied more heavily on another instrument it has used in the past called the Colorado Client Assessment Record, which actually the clinicians are now entering the data for. And hopefully they will begin collecting the information at admission to the facility rather than at different points in time, and they will readminister the instrument at a specific point of discharge rather than, again, haphazardly whenever they get around to doing it. So we are just about out of time. Beth, you've got a couple of comments about where you hope this will go.
One of the interesting things is the Indiana decision model that used the cans, and as we applied our data to that, 38% of our children would be placed in foster care with services of the 1,200, which is interesting for residential treatment and using it as a placement tool. But likewise, 26% of the youth that we had when applying that decision-making matrix would have been in inpatient hospitalization. So you see that Colorado has a lot of work to do regarding how children are being placed in the services that we're delivering. So in respect to time,
we're done.
We will wrap up.
If we've got time at the end, we can ask some questions. And we do have contact information on the handout I gave you.